And I want to see all of those saints whom I knew so well and with whom I had fellowship. I want to see each one of you there. We continue our subject, sowing and reaping. Book of the Galatians, please, chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Chapter 5, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are, and they are listed there. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit. Works of the flesh, fruit of the Spirit. One fruit with varying delicacies in that fruit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, and temperance. Many of your Bibles do not say temperance. We don't use that word very much today. In fact, it's what they call an obsolete word. I dare say that most of the young ones here don't know what temperance means. But when I was a boy, there was the temperance movement. And that movement was among those who refrain from drinking alcohol. The temperance movement. Many of your Bibles, instead of saying temperance, say self-control. And these people controlled themselves and wouldn't touch alcohol. Tonight we want to look at the word temperance, but in its modern translation, self-control. And you will find this in the New King James and in many other translations of the Word of God. Self-control, evidence of the fruit of the Spirit. Exodus chapter 4, please. And my habit hasn't changed. I still turn to a lot of scriptures. My children always used to tell me, Daddy, you turn to too many scriptures. Well, I haven't improved. So we shall be turning to several scriptures tonight. Self-control. Exodus chapter 4. Verse 10, Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. I have an impediment in my speech. I don't speak well. I am slow of tongue. Moses. Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. Moses is slow of speech. Numbers chapter 12. Verse 3. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Here's this man, can't talk well, and he's very meek. Chapter 20, please. Slow of speech, has an impediment of his speech, and he's very, very meek. Isn't that nice? Wouldn't you like to have characteristics like that? Chapter 20. Verse 10. Remember now, he can't talk much. And he's very meek. Numbers 20, verse 10. Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock. And he, Moses, said, Hear now, ye rebels. Must we fetch you water out of... Does that sound like a man with an impediment of speech? Does that sound like a man that's very meek? How do you explain? What happened to Moses? How did he lose his self-control? Psalm 106. Psalm 106. Verse 32. Psalm 106, verse 32. They angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill with Moses for their sake. They provoked his spirit so that he spoke inadvisedly. He was provoked and spoke inadvisedly. He lost his self-control. 1 Samuel chapter 24. First Samuel chapter 24, verse 1. It came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. He came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. Saul went in to relieve himself, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, Behold, the day of which the Lord spake unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thy hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. It came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him, because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, The Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David stayed his servants with these words, and suffered them not to rise against Saul. Saul rose out of the cave and went on his way. Self-control. Saul was out to kill David, and David had a chance to kill Saul. Did he do it? Self-control. Chapter 25. Pardon me, chapter 26. Chapter 26, verse 1. And the Ziphites came unto Saul to Gibeah, saying, Doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon? Then Saul arose and went down to the wilderness of Ziph, having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him, to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. Saul pitched in the hill of Hakilah, which is before Jeshimon by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness. David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deed. David arose and came to the place where Saul had pitched. David beheld the place where Saul lay, and Abner the son of Ner, the captain of his host. And Saul lay in the trench of the people around him. Then answered David and said to Ahimelech the Hittite, and to Abishai son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go down. So David and Abishai came to the people by night. Behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, his spear struck in the ground at his bolster, but Abner and the people lay around him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thy hand this day. Therefore let us smite him, I pray thee, with a spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not have to smite him twice. David said to Abishai, Destroy him not. Who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said, Furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or that he shall descend in battle. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. Self-control. Saul was out to kill David. There is Saul sleeping, and David has a chance to kill him. What did he do? He said, Let the Lord take it. Self-control. Psalm 116. Psalm 116. David displays wonderful self-control. Psalm 116, verse 11. Same man speaking. I said in my haste, all men are liars. Oh my. Does that sound like self-control? I said in my haste, all men are liars. Oh my. What happened to him? The Spirit saw on two occasions, showed great self-control. What happened to him on this occasion? He lost his self-control. And beloved, do you know that a man under anger can perform worse than a man under alcohol? Loss of self-control. Now let's look at another character. Isaiah 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Verse 2. Speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. He shall not cry nor lift up his voice to be heard in the street. Chapter 53. Verse 7. He was oppressed, afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, he opened not his mouth. What self-control the Lord showed. Matthew chapter 26. I'm not even going to ask you to bear with me. I warned you that we're going to turn to several scriptures. And as I often say, if you will listen carefully as you turn those pages, you'll hear some beautiful music. Now listen carefully as you turn the pages. Don't get upset. Listen as and you'll hear some beautiful music. You know how sometimes you go outside and the wind blows and you hear that music through the trees? That's what happens when you turn these leaves. Matthew 26. Verse 62. The high priest arose and said unto him, the Lord Jesus Christ, answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But Jesus held his peace. There they were falsely accusing him. He held his peace. Go back to verse 53. See what the Lord could have done. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? He could have called down 12 legions of angels. Now, we won't go into it, but if you want to know what one legion can do, go back to 1 Samuel. He could have called down 12 legions, but he held his peace. What a Lord and Savior we have. Chapter 27. Verse 12. When he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. What self-control. They were falsely accusing him. He could have defended himself. Self-control. He answered nothing. There's an old Southern spiritual that reads, he never said a mumbling word. Under all that pressure and opposition, beautiful self-control. Now we have three people running for president. They want to be president. And each of them has had to say, I was wrong. I misspoke myself. You remember that? Why, even very recently, the lady who was running spoke unadvisedly about Mr. Kennedy. Do you know the Lord never misspoke himself? He always said what he meant, and he meant what he said. He never apologized for anything he said. He never altered anything he said. What command? What self-control? That's our Lord. What an example. Now I'm going to ask you to turn with me, and we're going to look at some examples of self-control or loss of self-control. We have just looked at. We're going to look at some. You see, I'm turning these pages. I want to omit much that I have here. Or we'll be here all night. James chapter 3. Self-control. James chapter 3. Verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. Don't be smart. Don't think you know everything. In many things we all offend. If any man offend not in word, the same is a complete man and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us and return their whole body. In this modern day, you don't see too many horses. But years ago when I was a boy, we had plenty of horses. Do you know the fire trucks were pulled by horses? And when those horses came galloping down, you got out of the way. They were trained to jump into their hosiery and prance through the streets. And then we had other horses that the policemen used to ride for crowd control. It's amazing, those horses would control the crowd, but they never hurt anybody. They were trained. And then we had horses that were made to carry heavy weights. Then we had, in my day, horses that were trained to carry the garbage trucks. Trained. All kinds of animals trained. Verse 4, behold also the ships, which though they be great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a small helm, whithersoever the master wishes. Even so the tongue, oh, listen, beloved, is a little member, boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire can, the human tongue. The tongue is a fire of world of iniquity. Tongue is among our members that it defileth the whole body, setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire. Every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of man. You can tame all kinds of animals. I've seen lions and tigers trained to jump through a hoop. I've seen a bear trained to do certain things. I've seen elephants trained to march. They would get up on their hind feet, put their forefeet on the back of the elephant in front of them, put their snouts up, and march to music. Animals trained. Oh, dogs, oh my. Sheep dogs that keep the sheep in line. Dogs that sniff out narcotics. Dogs that are trained to guard. Guard dogs, we call them. Dogs that are trained to lead the blind. You know, the word of God, I like it. It says here that you can train every kind of animal. And it's true. Well, you know what I saw? You know what a sea lion is. I have been to a place and saw a sea lion and heard a sea lion play the national anthem on a wind instrument. Would you believe that? Can train all kinds of animals, but the human tongue. The human tongue. And now let's look a little bit at the human tongue. See what the human tongue is like. Psalm 19 and 14. Can train all kinds of animals with that human tongue. Hard to control. Psalm 19, verse 14. A prayer. And oh, beloved, how we need to pray. I remember we used to go to certain meetings, and there were present at the meetings those who were of different persuasions from what my persuasion was. And I would always take this verse with me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. You know, there's an interesting thing about words. If you have a kite and you loosen the string, the kite goes up. Am I right? And you pull it back. You can't do that with words. Once a word is out, you can't get it back. Am I right? You ever pull back a word? Oh, how careful we need to be of what we say. Self-control of the things that we say. Psalm chapter 55. Verse 21. Gives some description of the tongue. What the tongue is capable of. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. Sounds like some of our politicians, doesn't it? But war was in his heart. Oh, how they're fighting with each other. They want to be president. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. It's amazing what we can do with our tongues. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. What our tongues are capable of. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Pardon me, chapter 3, verse 7. Chapter 3, verse 7. There is a time to rend, a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. We have to know when to speak. Do you remember when Peter was on the mountain, Peter, James, and John? The Lord took them there. The Lord was transfigured. And they saw Eli, Moses, and the Lord. And Peter spoke. What did Peter say? Let's build three tabernacles. And the Lord said, this is my beloved son. This is no time for three tabernacles. Peter spoke out of order. Oh, how careful we have to be that we don't mar our behavior by speaking out of order. Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 18. Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah. The law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Now, note this. Come and let us smite him with the tongue. Let us smite him. Let's cut down Jeremiah. Oh, the human tongue. What it can do. Self-control. how we need to be careful of what we say. Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 36. The Lord is speaking, and the Lord says, I say unto you, every word that men shall speak, they shall give account in the day of judgment. Every careless word, every needless word, every thoughtless word, oh, beloved, that's frightening. I'm going to have to give account for every word I've spoken. I wonder how many times I've spoken inadvisedly. Have you ever spoken inadvisedly? No, fine. I have. And when I see the Lord, I'm going to have to tell him why. That's serious. We need to control ourselves. We need to control our speech. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 15. Speaking the truth in love. That's how we're to speak. Speak the truth in love. Verse 25. Putting away lying, speak every man the truth. Oh, beloved, be careful of gossip. You read about that in Deuteronomy. I didn't turn to it. Don't just pick up what somebody says and carry it on. Let us not be talebearers. What we say, let us make sure it is true. And now we want to look at some of the consequences. No, we better not take care. I'll go to the last part. Colossians chapter 6. Colossians chapter 6. How we should speak. How we should control our tongues. Pardon me, Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace. Let your speech be always with grace. Psalm 45, verse 2. Don't get upset. Listen to the pages as they turn. Psalm 45, verse 2. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured forth from thy mouth. Grace is poured forth from thy mouth. Luke chapter 4. Grace. Let your speech be with grace. Luke chapter 4, verse 22. All bear him witness and wondered at the gracious words that proceeded out of his mouth. Our speech should be gracious, gentle, kind. Come back with me to Colossians chapter 4, please. Verse 6. Let your speech be always with grace. Seasoned with salt. Seasoned with salt. Job chapter 6. Job chapter 6. Why do we put salt in food? It's amazing what the Bible teaches us. Read verse 6 of Job chapter 6. Can that which is insipid, unsavory, be eaten without salt? Why do you put salt on the food? To make it taste right, don't you? Well, it says in the Colossians 4 and 6, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Salt makes things seasonable. Not pepper, salt. I was about 9 years old, Thanksgiving Day. So my mother had prepared, you know how they do the nice dinner. There's this turkey and a ham and all the vegetables. My uncle had come in the day before from the West Indies. And he brought as his contribution some West Indian hot sauce. Phil, the brother's smiling. He knows what I'm talking about. My father took his serving, poured on. My uncle poured on. They passed it to me and I poured on. You know what happened. I took one spoonful. I began to cough. My nose began to run. My eyes began to tear, and my ears stopped up. Pepper. We are to season our gracious talk with salt, not with pepper. Our speech is not to be rude, crude, and uncouth. Let us remember that when we talk to each other. And with that, I'm going to ask you to turn. We have a few minutes left. If I go over time tonight, the next time I'm called on to speak, tell me, and I'll give you back the time. Agreeable? Fine. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Oh, I like this chapter. You know, they tell us that the Bible doesn't speak much of women have nice things to say. Well, we're going to read this chapter and you'll find out what the Bible has to say about a lady. Read the book of Ruth and find out what Ruth said. No man ever said the words that she said. I'll go no further on that. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 2. There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. The man was very great, and he had 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, the name of his wife Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding and beautiful countenance, like the sisters in this meeting. Good understanding and beautiful countenance. But the man was harsh, crude, and uncrude, and uncouth. You know, I'm just saying this in passing. I have ever often wondered, how did she ever marry that man? A refined, cultured, respectable woman marrying a crude, rude, and uncouth man. Young ladies, young men, be careful whom you marry. We'll talk about that some other time. Verse 3. Now the name of the man was Nabal, the name of his wife Abigail. She was a woman of good understanding, of beautiful countenance, but the man was harsh, evil in his doings, and he was of the house of Caleb. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear sheep. David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. Thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be to thee, and peace be to thine house, peace be unto all that thou hast. And now I have heard that thou hast sharers. Now thy shepherds were with us, we hurt them not, neither was there aught found missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes. We come in a good day. I give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thy hand, unto thy servants, and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in the name of David and ceased. And Nabal answered, this rude, crude, and uncouth man. Nabal answered, David's servant said, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away from every man from his master. Shall I take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my sharers and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him all these things. David said unto his men, gird ye on every man his sword. They girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And they went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the food. One of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, behold, David sent messengers out to the wilderness to salute our master, and he scorned them. But the men were very good unto us. We were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us, both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master and against all his household. For he is such a man of Belial that a man can't speak to him. That's her husband who treated David's servants so rudely. Verse 18. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine, 5,005 sheep readily dressed, 5 measures of parched corn, 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on asses. And she said unto her servants, go on before me. Behold, I will come after thee. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so as she rode on the ass that she came down by the covert of the hill. Behold, David and his men came across opposite her, and she met them. Now David had said, this is what he had planned to do, because of the way his servants were treated. David had said, surely in vain have I kept that fellow in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertaineth unto him, and he hath repaid me evil. So and much more also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave all that pertain to them by the morning any man child. He was determined to destroy Nabal and all that he had. Now, verse 23. When Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted from the ass, fell before David on her face, bowed herself to the ground, fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be. And let not thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thy handmaid. Let not, my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name, so is he. Nabal is his name. Folly is with him. I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord, whom thou didst send. Now, therefore, my Lord, as Jehovah lives, as thy soul lives, seeing Jehovah hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thy handmaid hath brought unto my Lord, let it be given unto the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for Jehovah will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of Jehovah. Evil hath not been found in thee all these days. Yet a man is risen to pursue. Come down with me to verse 32. Now she has spoken. Did she speak with grace? Was there salt in her speech? Verse 32. David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee to me this day." What an effect. Grace and salt. That softened him. He was out to kill Nabal. Grace and salt. And here he is thanking her. "Blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with mine own hand. For indeed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left one that stands against the wall by morning." She saved her husband's life, prevented David from committing murder, grace and salt. Not grace and pepper, beloved. Grace and salt. What does salt do? Salt makes things taste good. And when we speak to one another, we should so speak that our words are pleasant, our words are acceptable. I pause because I have so much here, I have to jump and skip around. Job chapter 2. Job chapter 2. Verse 11. Now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, Zophar the Naamanite. For they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. That's what they came for. When they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. They rent every man his mantle and sprinkled dust upon their heads. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days, and none spake. They came to comfort him, and for 7 days they just sat there, not a word. Chapter 16, please. After the 7 days, they who came to comfort him began to speak. They came to comfort him. Now they're talking. Chapter 16, verse 2. Job answered and said, "I have heard many such things. Miserable comforters are ye." Oh, beloved, when we speak to each other, are we miserable comforters? Do we help each other? How do we speak to each other? James chapter 1. Verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every one be swift to hear and slow to speak and slow to wrath." That's our conclusion. We are called to be separated, called as disciples to walk with him. We are called to represent him. Let us beware that we do represent him. Let us not dishonor him. Let's be humble. Let's be meek. You know two of the saddest verses in the Bible, in my opinion? In the book of Acts, we haven't turned to it. Barnabas and Paul, two outstanding men. Two outstanding men. And we read that they had a disagreement and the contention between them was so great that they separated. Oh, that's sad. Beloved, let's be careful how we speak to each other. Let there be no quarrel between us. Even when we disagree, let us speak gently, always with grace and with salt. I owe you 15 minutes. I think, however, we can sing at least a few verses of a hymn. 531. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still.